Welcome to Gospel in Life. Thank you for joining as we go through this special series of meditations by Tim Keller, Trusting God in Difficult Times. This new series is meant to encourage you to trust God more deeply and to meditate on His Word and what it promises to give you strength and hope in difficult times. And now here's today's meditation.
My title is, Where is Your Faith? This is Luke chapter 8. Obviously, it's about the disciples in a boat with Jesus during a storm. And I'm going to read verses 24 to 25. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. What's most interesting about this text here, in stormy times, how do you act in faith? How can you have the fearless ability to look at the storm and not be so scared? It's interesting that when they say, Master, Master, we're going to drown, Jesus says, Where is your faith? And it's very clear that faith is the opposite of that panic. So how do we get that faith so we are able to not panic in the face of storms? And let's just notice two or three things here. First of all, when Jesus says, Where is your faith? That shows that faith is probably not what most of us think it is. It's a deliberate action. Notice Jesus does not say, when he says, Where is your faith? He does not say, You don't have any faith, or Why don't you have any faith? Notice that's very interesting, because they were showing a lack of faith at the moment, but he doesn't say, Oh, you lack faith. He doesn't do that. We mostly think that faith is sort of automatic. It's like it is like a heater, that if it's cold enough outside, the heater just comes on. And most of us think that if we have faith and panic, and storms come up, it'll just come on. And if it doesn't just come on, then I guess we just don't have faith. And I have people say this to me all the time. They say, Oh, I wish I had your faith, or I wish I had that person's faith, as if it's something that you catch, or it's something that's just in you. But this says, no. He doesn't say you don't have faith. He says, Where is your faith? Get it out. It ought to be here. And which means it takes deliberate action, number one. Number two, it's faith not in general, but about Jesus. Because, you see, they come to him and they say, Who is this at the end? Who is this? And that's really what they should have been saying all along. See, when Jesus says, Where is your faith? I think he was trying to say, You're looking at the storm instead of looking at me, and you know who I am. You've seen me feed the hungry, the 5,000, the 4,000. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me pledge my love to you. You've seen me do all these things. But you've just forgotten all them, and you panicked. What you should have done is you should have said, No, wait, we know this about Jesus, that about Jesus. If he's all this, we're not going to drown here. And so Jesus is saying, what you're really doing when you panic is not so much showing a lack of faith. You're refusing to exercise the faith that you've got. You're refusing to get out what you know about Jesus Christ. I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God incarnate, born in a manger? Do you believe he died on a tree to atone for our sins, that he rose physically from the dead, that he's passed through the heavens, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's directing all things that happen in history, and someday he will come back to judge the living and the dead and put everything right? Do you believe that? Then you can face anything. There is no storm here on earth that can stand before those facts. So where is your faith? Get it out. But there's one more thing, I believe. We're not supposed to just see faith as a deliberate action and just get out what we know about Jesus, but we especially have to remember his love for us. Because not in Luke 8, but over in Mark chapter 4, we're told that the disciples also said, Master, don't you care that we're going to drown? You don't love us. And of course, they didn't know yet, but what we know, and that is that on the cross, Jesus Christ experienced the greatest storm possible, the storm of God's wrath, the storm of divine justice coming down, and he because he loved us, he just obediently bowed his head into that storm and took it for us. And if I see him loving me that much as to bow his head into that storm, then any other storm that comes along, I will never say, oh, Lord, do you not care? I know he cares. So get out your faith. It ought to be here. Remind yourself of not only who Jesus is, but what he did for you.
And now here's Tim and Kathy Keller for a short time of Q&A on today's meditation.
The things that you were saying about the disciples not really trusting Jesus, to me, that's the really key moment in the life of any Christian. It's the word tipping point's been overused, I think, but I can't think of a better one right now. But every professing Christian, everyone who says they are a Christian, has to come to a tipping point where what they know about God, they decide that they can actually trust his character. Is he loving? Is he wise? Is he good? And if you go on the other side of that tipping point, yes, you've made the decision. He is wise. I've seen him be good. I've seen it.
And you act
his
on
wisdom.
That.
And then you, that's a settled issue. And so it forms the foundation for the rest of your life. Then you act completely differently than people who are on the first side of the tipping point. They haven't made that decision. So every time something bad comes up, it like calls the whole thing into question. My whole faith is, I might not be able to believe in God anymore because X, Y, Z happened. But you have to reach that tipping point and say, is God loving? Do I believe he's wise? Is he loving? Is he good? And once you have confidence, I guess that's the way to say it, confidence in God's character, then you are able to pull your faith out. But you, without that confidence in God's character, and that's based on seeing how he's treated you.
Yeah.
So I'm actually not asking a question.
I was going to say, it's not a question, but important. That's a really important...
Putting a footnote to what you were saying.
Addendum. No, I think you're absolutely right. I think in all Christian lives, and John Newton talks about this in one of his letters.
I read Newton every
day. He says, there comes a moment in which you're going to make that decision because troubles are going to come. And once you finally make that decision, you know, I actually can trust God, then you really are on, you might say, the downslope of your Christian life, and you are going to make it. You're going to stay a Christian. You're going to grow in Christ as time goes on. That's right. And so because it wasn't so much a question, let me just end like this, our little time. I never got a chance to read this in the reflection.
Okay.
This is a great old hymn, as you know, by Newton and Cowper. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head.
Thank you for joining us for this special series by Dr. Keller. Our prayer is that these meditations on God's Word will remind you of God's sovereignty and shine light on the hope we have in Christ in every circumstance, because the gospel changes everything. If you found today's meditation encouraging, please share it with a friend to encourage them as well. And to find more resources by Dr. Keller or to make a gift, visit gospelandlife.com. Thanks again for listening to Gospel and Life.